Chapter 11, The Kingdom of the Franks, Clovis the Ex-Barbarian. Now we're ready to travel back to the West. Rome used to be the strongest empire in the ancient world, but at the beginning of the Middle Ages, barbarians invaded Rome. Rome became weaker and weaker, and other civilizations became stronger and stronger. Let's imagine a journey from New Zealand, where the Maori live, back through some of these civilizations. Start by paddling your canoe north and west. You should see the coast of Australia just ahead of you. You'll need to paddle along the coast, still going north. Keep your eyes open, and you might see Aborigine canoes out fishing for sea cattle. You have a long journey ahead of you, up through the Pacific Ocean. Go on paddling. After many weeks, you'll find yourself approaching the islands of Japan, the land of the rising sun. Beach your canoe on the shores of Japan and wander across the country, and you'll see Chinese clothing, Chinese books, and Chinese buildings. Remember, China lent Japan its language, its architecture, and its customs until Japan decided to break free. Cross over the water between China and Japan. You'd better hire a boat. And come ashore at the Chinese mainland. If you're feeling adventurous, you can hike south into Korea, which sits between China and Japan. But you might stumble into the middle of a battle, because China and Japan are fighting to control Korea, which sits between them. Find a sturdy mountain pony, hop on, and start your long journey west through Asia. If you take a little detour to the south, you'll find yourself in India, where the Gupta kings ruled. Now travel west again. You'll need a boat, because you're going to sail through the Indian Ocean, across to the peninsula of Arabia. The Islamic Empire began here, following the lead of Muhammad. Climb out of your boat, rent a camel, you're going to have to plod through hot, sandy deserts, and start your journey back north. Keep traveling north, and you'll arrive at the borders of the Byzantine Empire, the land once ruled by Justinian the Just Emperor, and his wife, the Empress Theodora. The Byzantine Empire was once the eastern half of the old Roman Empire, until the Roman Empire split into two. Now go west one more time. Are you swimming in the Mediterranean Sea? The land all around the Mediterranean used to belong to Rome. Swim over to Italy, the peninsula that looks like a boot. Climb ashore and walk up through Italy. Now you're standing on the top of an icy mountain range, the Alps. Take a good look around. The land all around you was ruled by Rome until barbarians invaded. But a funny thing happened to these barbarians. When they came into Roman territory, they began to learn Roman customs. They built houses like Roman houses and lived in them instead of roaming around on horseback. They discovered Roman customs, like shaving and taking baths. Missionaries taught them about Christianity. They learned to speak Latin. They became civilized. And these ex-barbarians began to establish their own kingdoms all over the land that once belonged to the Romans. The land of Gaul, just north of the Mediterranean Sea, was invaded by barbarians called the Franks. The Franks were made up of several different tribes, and they didn't regard themselves as barbarians. As a matter of fact, they claimed that they were descended from the ancient inhabitants of the great city of Troy. The Frankish tribes settled down in Gaul, next to the Roman citizens who were already living there. Other barbarian tribes, called the Burgundians and the Alemanni, settled in Gaul too. Now many different people lived side by side in Gaul, and they didn't like each other very much. But even though the Romans and the Franks and the Burgundians and the Alemanni were enemies, they became allies just long enough to fight off the Huns. Do you remember that the Huns helped destroy Rome and invaded countries all the way over to India? The Huns were a frightening, savage warrior race, and the people of Gaul decided that although they hated each other, they hated the Huns even more. So they united into one army under the leadership of a great fighter named Merovius. Merovius was the chief of a Frankish tribe. He led his army against the Huns and defeated them. The Huns retreated from Gaul, and as soon as the Hun threat had vanished, the people of Gaul divided again into their warring tribes. But Merovius's grandson, Clovis, always remembered the days when his grandfather had briefly made the Franks into one people. When Clovis was 20, he inherited the leadership of his tribe, and he set out to make all of Gaul into one empire. So Clovis married a princess from one barbarian tribe, Clotilda, a Burgundian. He fought other tribes and forced them to accept him as a leader. He defeated the last Roman soldiers left in Gaul. He convinced other Frankish chiefs to swear allegiance to him, and eventually he ruled over all of Gaul. His empire became known as the Frankish Empire. Today we call this part of the world France, after the Franks. While he was conquering his empire, Clovis became a Christian. According to a medieval book called The Chronicle of St. Denis, Clovis converted to Christianity because he wanted God to help him defeat his enemies. Clovis's wife, Clotilda, was already a Christian, and she wanted her husband to become a Christian too. But Clovis refused, until he fought a great battle against the Alemanni and saw that his men were being slaughtered. So he looked up to heaven. "God," he said, "I will serve you forever if only you will give me the victory." The medieval story tells us instantly his men were filled with burning valor, and a great fear smote his enemies, so that they turned their backs and fled the battle. The Alemanni leaders surrendered, and Clovis won the day. As soon as he got home, Clovis went to find a bishop and asked him to explain Christianity. The bishop did, and Clovis agreed to be baptized. Now Clovis, the ex-barbarian, was an emperor and a Christian. Four tribes, one empire. Clovis managed to unite the battling peoples of Gaul into one empire, the Franks, but could he keep them together? Clovis decided that three things would help make the Franks, the Romans, Burgundians, and the Alemanni into one people. First, he established a capital city at a place called Lutetia Parisiorum, an old Roman fortress built on a hill near the River Seine. It was easy to defend because anyone who attacked it would have to climb uphill while fighting, and there were already good, smooth Roman roads leading to Lutetia Parisiorum. Clovis had a wall built around the hill and named his new city Paris. Now all his people could call Paris their capital city. Second, Clovis decreed that everyone in his empire should become a Christian. When he was baptized, he had 3,000 of his fighting men baptized at the same time. Do you think all of those men were Christians? Probably not. But Clovis knew that people who follow the same religion are less likely to attack each other. So he made Christianity the official religion of the Franks. And he built an enormous cathedral in Paris called Saint Genevieve. Now Clovis had one religion in his country and one capital city, but he needed one more thing to keep his country unified, one law. The Franks and the Romans and the Burgundians and the Alemanni all had different laws. Like Justinian, Clovis knew that a strong, peaceful country needs one set of laws that everyone follows. So he had his scribes and clerics issue a new set of laws called the Salic Law. These laws tell us quite a lot about the kingdom of the Franks. Here is one of the Salic Laws. If a Roman attacks a Frank and steals from him, he will pay 2,500 dinars. This was a lot of money. A man would have to work for at least 3 months to earn 2,500 dinars. But then the law goes on. But if a Frank attacks a Roman and steals from him, he will pay 1,400 dinars. A Frank who attacked a Roman would pay a much smaller fine than a Roman who robbed a Frank. So although the Romans were part of the Frankish Empire, they weren't given the same protections as the Franks. Does this seem fair to you? Here is another law. If a man calls another man fox or hare, he will have to pay 120 dinars. calling names was against the law. If you called someone a fox, you were calling them sly and untrustworthy, like a spy. And if you called a man a hare, you were saying that he was cowardly and anxious to run away from a fight. Loyalty to their country and bravery in battle were very important to the Franks. If anyone wants to move to another village, and even one person in the village doesn't want him there, he cannot move. If he does anyway, the people of the village must warn him 3 times to leave. After the 3rd warning, the people of the village can summon the king's man to come and take the offender away. Clovis may have brought the Franks, Romans, Burgundians, and Alemanni together into one empire, but it sounds as though some of them still didn't want to live close to each other. What if a Roman wanted to move into a Burgundian village? The people who lived there could refuse to accept him. The empire of the Franks was united, but it was not peaceful.